to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. You know, sometimes even believers can be worn down by life circumstances. You know, this is especially true in the day and time that we find ourselves right now. We've talked several times over this year about how important it is to lean into God in times like this. And if you're one that sometimes feels like you're stuck in life, stuck in your walk with God, then you want to pay attention to today's interview. It is possible to have victory over any circumstance with God, and that includes the COVID pandemic, the resulting shutdowns and the lockdowns, the closing of churches. This is the first time in the history of the United States where they actually shut down churches and forbid people to go to church. It's shameful and disheartening. Throughout this nation's history, if there was ever a public emergency, the churches is where people turn to. But that was forbidden in this pandemic, so it is possible that there are so many of you out there right now that are looking for direction from God. Well, today's guest has written a book that will help you do just that. Kim Patterson is a wife and mother who's also been a leader in her church for over 13 years as she's taught Bible studies and small groups. She has a passion for women's ministries and discipleship. She's a graduate of the JFA School of Supernatural Ministry and the author of a great book, which we'll be discussing today, To the Thirsty, Journey into the Depths of God. Help me welcome to the program, Kim Patterson. Kim, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bob. I sure appreciate being here and you inviting me.
Hey, man. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Kim Patterson?
Oh, who am I? Well, I've always considered myself a wife and mother first and foremost. No matter what I do, that's my ministry and that's my highest calling. And so I have three children. My oldest is 20, and then I have a 14-year-old and 12-year-old. So I'm hitting them all. I've got one in college, one in high school, and one in middle school. So that is an adventure, and my kids are always taking me on an adventure, and life is really good. I'm also an interior decorator, and so I've been able to do that part-time, slowly building a business for, probably 15 years now, and the Lord just keeps blessing me with clients, and it's a way for me to be home with my kids, and then while they're at school, just do something that I'm passionate about. That's where I have my degree, and I just love it, and I come in contact with so many different people, and I really consider that a ministry as well. And then, of course, you know, going to church, God is just my life. I just love Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. The staggering of the children is a challenge all in itself.
It is. Just when you think you're out of one stage and you're moving on, the next one's coming into it. And I'm thinking, wait, I thought I did this already.
I remember when ours were growing up and one finally got old enough where, you know, the insurance wasn't, car insurance wasn't costing me an arm and a leg. The other one got a driver's license.
Yes, that's what happens. That's what happens.
It's like, oh, Lord. Amen, amen. So I know that the generic answer to this next question is going to be Christians, but let's get more specific. Who is the intended audience of your book?
The intended audience is really that person who is looking for something more out of their Christian walk. Maybe they've been attending for a long time. Maybe they feel a little stuck or stagnant where they're at. So someone who really has been on the journey for a little bit, but they know all the, you know, the Bible speak, the Christian speak, you know, but they're thinking there's got to be more than what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing. Because truly, that's where I was at when I really heard the Lord speak into my spirit, there's more. And those two words drove me to a level of hunger and thirst that I had not experienced before in my Christian walk. And it is from that place of being thirsty that you begin to go on this quest, what I used to call a treasure hunt, into mm-hmm. finding out what there is that is more.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, yes. I know you believe, and I believe it also, but I know you believe God inspired you to write this book. The question I have is, yes. How do you know?
How do I know? Well, the thing is it was not anything that I had planned to do. It wasn't on my radar at all. And the way God works is he brings about a divine appointment. Someone will come into your life. Something will happen, which will move you from where you were going into a new direction. And Amen. So that's what happened, is that he brought someone into my life that had ignited or sparked something in me. Now, how I know it was God is because when he created us, really, truly, in the womb, he put that there already. So in his timing, he will begin to move you in that direction. And so you may not know it. I always felt like I had a way with words, and I'm a creative writer, and I like that. But being an author was nothing I aspired to do. But when I started this process, things came easier to me. Because it was what God had planned for me all along. Mm-hmm. He had planted that seed within me when he created me. He had been watering it. And then for its own particular time, when our desires line up, when my desires had finally lined up with the desires that God had for me, then that began to sprout. And the ability that I didn't even know that I had was able to come forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he'll take things that are your natural abilities, and then he will add the supernatural ability to it. And so Amen. You'll be able to do things. He's not going to create a whole different person in you and have you do something that you're, you know, that you've never. He's going to use what naturally he's given you, and he's going to enhance it through his power and bring it forth.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I've said this before on some of the broadcasts, my radio programs, interviews, stuff like that, that, you know, when I started this ministry that we got right now, you know, I had to have help checking email. I am not technically inclined at all. And when we started the radio station, it just took off like a rocket. Within 2 years, we were rated number one in the world and all that. And I was being invited to go speak at churches. And I remember praying one day. I said, Lord, why did you pick me to do this?
You know? Yes.
And the Lord has such, I call it a sense of humor in mm-hmm. making you humble. Right. He doesn't make you feel bad, but he humbles you, but he does it so you don't feel bad when he does it. When I prayed, I said, Lord, why me? Why did you pick me to do this? His response uh-huh. was, I was almost a minute. He says, you weren't my first choice. And I was like, oh, I wasn't your first choice. He says, no, you were just the first one to obey. And that gave me so such clarity. Obedience is where the blessing is.
You know? Yes, for sure.
And sometimes I wonder, I wonder how many people God's told to do this first mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. just ignored it.
You know? Yes. And, yes.
So you were, I can understand everything. So, you know, that's how, and like I said, I'm not technically inclined, you know, when we first started, I'd go speak at churches and stuff. And my son-in-law, he's my IT guy. He worked with Apple and all that. And I say, this is really his ministry. I'm just the guy on the radio. I mean, he's got the setup, you know, and now after, you know, 10 years, I know what buttons to click and what sequence to make everything work.
Yes.
When we first started, you know, he had to sit next to me and say, okay, click here. Okay, go here. Okay, drag this here. Okay, now talk. Oh, talk now. Yeah. What do I say? You know, type thing. I think back those times, like, oh, Lord, have mercy. But now I'm helping other people start their stuff, you know? And, and that's just the grace that God has given us. But yeah, it was so humbling. So you, believe me, you were not my first choice.
that's funny. You're right. He does have a sense of humor. Amen. But when he says something and you know that it's him, it just, you feel it in your heart. You just know it.
Exactly. As you were preparing to write your book, you were actually seeking a partner, a friend, to help you with
it.
Tell us how you ended up doing this project all on your own.
Well, I wasn't even seeking a partner to do this. Like I said, we had a divine appointment. We came together, and it just so happened that God had put something on her heart. And as I began to help her with that, it was just, we were ignited together. This became a joint passion, and we worked on this for a long time. And I would say about 3 months, all day long, we would get together and we would pray and we would worship and we would take notes, what God was telling us. And at the end of that 3 months, I knew what he was asking me to do, or I should say what he was asking us to do is what I thought. And, but that's not what he was asking her to do. Mm-hmm. And so, I had to ask God if it was all right to do it on my own. And that was a big hurdle, because I thought this was something we were going to do together. And that's where that obedience comes in that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Because I could have easily said, well, my friend doesn't want to continue on. I guess this isn't from God. I guess this isn't what we're supposed to do. But I knew what he was telling me. And so really, I had to give myself permission to obey God and really risk hurting my friend. As it turns out, she was not hurt at all. And I feel very blessed by that. But that's what I had to do, was go on, because what we were working on, I needed her. God used her to ignite the fire. Mm-hmm. But then he was calling me to finish the work. And so that's what I did. I walked in obedience to him and finished the work.
Amen. Amen. How many other people knew you were writing this book while it was taking place?
Not a lot of people. I would begin to tell people a little bit at a time that I was writing a book. So my family and friends, they were all shocked when I told them. They're like, "You are?" And I said, "Well, yes." But I really kept it very quiet. And even there are friends that didn't even know I had written it until after it was published and it was on Amazon. Then they just couldn't believe it. They had no idea. But it was one of those things where I just didn't want anyone speaking into me, giving me any kind of doubt that it was what I could do. I really protected the project. I'll just have to say that.
Yep. Amen. I can understand completely. I know how that is. Now, you talk about the well of God's presence. What do you mean by that? And how is this explained in your book?
Well, I liken the well as the way to travel on this journey. And so a lot of times as Christians, what I believed when I was on my journey of faith, I was walking it out. And I think a lot of Christians can really understand this. You know, God will give you something. Maybe you read something in the Bible and you have to walk it out, meaning make it practical in your life. How does this look in my life? I'm walking it out. And you see yourself on a path. Whereas going into his presence is not walking on a path, but it's going down deep into the well of his presence. And so as you go deeper, if you think of a well, you start in the ground and you dig up that first layer of dirt. Mm-hmm. And then as you go deeper, you hit another layer of dirt and you just keep digging. Well, in each layer, God has so many things that he wants to show you and develop in you. And so that's why I refer to it as a well, because it's going deeper. And his presence, when I was reading the story of the Samaritan woman, this is when it really stood out to me, where she came to the well and she met Jesus. And so when you come into God's presence, you are going to encounter Jesus. And Jesus has something for you. He said to the woman at the well that if you knew who was asking you for this drink, that you would ask him for a drink and he would give you living water. So when you get into God's presence, you encounter Jesus and he has something to give you. And that is living water, the Holy Spirit. And so going into the well is about discovering Jesus and the Holy Spirit in his presence.
Amen. Amen. So let me make sure I understand this. The deeper you get with God, it's like going deeper down into the well.
Yes.
And the farther you go, it's like layers. So explain the layers to us, the temple, the worship, all that.
Oh, yes. So within the layers, like I said, he wants to develop you within each layer. And so a lot of times what we do is we hear an interesting something that we want to look further into. And so we will start a book, we will start a Bible study, and we'll begin to try to walk out what we're learning. And God has a divine order for us to do this. And so when you come into layer one, he has things he wants to show you, and he wants things that he wants to do in you. And so when you do it in his order, you are able to walk out your Christian faith with more satisfaction, with more effectiveness. There are so many times that I feel like Christians really aren't effective in their walk because they've just tried to do things out of order. And so the layers within the book, I define the layers and what he wants to do. Because, for example, it's very difficult to operate in the deepest layer if you haven't learned some of the basics. For example, most people want to understand what their destiny is, which is found in layer four. And they want to understand what that is. Well, you can't possibly walk in your destiny if you don't know what it is you have. And what you have is victory, and you have authority, but you can't possibly understand what you have until you know who you are, and your identity is wrapped up in Christ. And so before you can understand who you are, you have to understand who God is, and you have to see him as Lord of your life, and you have to surrender everything to him, and that is layer one. So there's an order, and most people try to start at the deepest layer and find themselves frustrated. Yeah. And so the book really outlines how to go deeper with God in the right order that he wants to develop you.
Amen. So there, if I remember correctly from when I was reading the book, three things apply to each and every layer in our relationship with God.
Yes.
Right? And what is
that? Yes. What the three things that apply, and they're symbolic things, it's temple, worship, wall, these three words. And these three words were taken from the idea when the captives returned out of Babylon. They had been held captive for 70 years in Babylon. And when they returned to Jerusalem, there were things they discovered about Jerusalem. The first was that their temple was in ruins. And they forgot how to worship, and their wall had a lot of holes in it, was just dismantled. And so the things they had to rebuild in their lives was the temple, they had to rebuild their worship, and the wall. So each layer will tackle these three elements. And so what the temple represents is how we partner and relate to the Holy Spirit. We are the temple, and the Holy Spirit fills us. And so that's the temple aspect. Worship is exactly what it implies. It is how we pray and how we worship. And that looks differently as we grow in intimacy and go deeper into the well of God's presence. That looks different. And then the wall was what surrounded Jerusalem, and it is what established it as a city, and it's what protected it from its enemies. And so we'll look at our wall, which is how we are established and how we are protected.
Amen. Amen. What happens if someone tries to do these things out of order?
Yes. They may not find the effectiveness that they're looking for. So for one example, let's say that you have just read a study about the armor of God, and you put on your armor and you want to do some spiritual warfare, or you want to get into intercession and pray for others because you've just learned all about the armor of God. Well, this aspect is developed in layer 3, and it is all about your authority. You only have authority to do spiritual warfare, but you can't possibly understand this authority until you first discover your identity, which is discussed in layer 2. And so God wants to teach you all about who you are. And it's knowing who you are in Christ that you come to understand the authority that you have. And so sometimes when we pray or we try to operate in these things that we've learned, we don't have success and we're not effective. And you think, well, shoot, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? And so you just end up frustrated when you try to do things out of order. And then a lot of times we just give up. We think, well, that's not for me, or that wasn't from God.
Mm. Yeah. I can see how that would, yeah, that makes a mm-hmm. lot of sense. So mm-hmm. you also share how we should stop reading the Bible to learn something.
Oh,
and
yes.
And start reading it to experience something.
Can
you explain what it is you mean by that statement?
Yes. Well, obviously, when you start reading the Bible, there are things that you need to learn. And so I don't want to discourage anyone from, you know, picking up the Bible and thinking they're not going to learn something. Because when we read the Bible and you're just starting out, there are ways that the Bible unfolds to you. And one of the first ways is to learn about who the characters are, who the people are, where the locations are, and what happened. Obviously, you want to learn about that. And then you want to learn about how that's related to your life and how can you apply these principles. But somewhere in our Christian walk, and we have that down, we have to read the Bible with new eyes and a new perspective, where it's not about what knowledge can I learn, what truth am I going to learn, but where can I see Jesus? How can I experience the Holy Spirit? And how can I develop this connection with him to where now I come into an intimate experiential knowledge of him, not just head knowledge. Heart knowledge has got to be the goal or the focus. And boy, I tell you, when you get into his presence and you even read the Bible from his presence, he's going to touch you. Yeah. And I talk a little bit about this in my book. You're going to feel his touch. You might feel it physically, or you might feel it spiritually in your heart. There's going to be a touch. And in this touch is going to be the assurance. And assurance, really, that his presence is with you. It's an assurance of his love. It's whatever you need, he's going to assure you. And so this is the place that we need to get to when we're in prayer, reading the Bible, is to be seeking that touch that gives us an experiential knowledge of him, because he can do things and move you farther along in your work just by being in his presence mm-hmm. than you can through all the reading and all the head knowledge that you're trying to gain and then try to do things on your own. He can take you from 0 to 60. Yeah. Wow. In just a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
It makes all
Amen.
The difference when you Amen. Make this switch.
Amen. Well, I agree with that 100%, but you share how this book basically outlines your faith journey.
Yes.
How deep does someone have to dig, excuse the pun about the well, to reach the living water of God for this book?
Well, you know, the thing is I put that into layer 4, but to tell you the truth, God can really do that anytime he wants to. The rivers of living water are basically when you understand and you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit working through you. And so, and that is a process because everyone will experience this at their own pace as they come into their giftings, the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. So really, I don't want to limit God or the Holy Spirit on when this is going to happen. But for the purposes of my book, I put it in layer 4. But again, even at the end of the book, I say, are there deeper layers? And absolutely,
Amen.
Because there is no bottom to the depth of God. Let's just put it that way.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, amen. How can the person who's reading your book understand how to dig their own well with God? Does everyone have to start at what you call the surface?
Well, I believe every Christian's yes should start at the surface, or it just happens. But if you've been walking with God for a while now, I encourage you to read the book almost as a discovery of, okay, where am I already in the well? So if you're new to God, then yes, you want to start on the surface. But when you read the book, you might feel like you're a little bit deeper already. And so I really feel like the book is going to help you identify where in the well you are and where you might be stuck. So again, once you hit a place where you're like, I don't know about that. This is what I call a crisis of belief. And actually, I didn't coin the term. Henry Blackaby did in his book, Experiencing God. And it's what's called a crisis of belief. And so going deeper is all about also becoming a bigger bucket. Because as you go deeper, your bucket has got to enlarge. Because, just as your faith, gets bigger, your bucket has to get larger.
Amen.
And so the minute your bucket hits something and stops, or the minute something starts to fall out of your bucket that you can't contain it, that's how you know that you've hit where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so then I would stop right there and I would start to dig into those things that are causing me to have a crisis of belief, the things that are stopping me from moving forward in God, because right there is where we have just established you have doubt, and God wants to work through your doubt. Doubting is not bad at all. It just means that's where he wants to develop you and to work.
Amen. As you were saying that, I'm reminded of the story where the father brought his son to the disciples while Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples couldn't heal him. And they seen Jesus coming back down. He said, Lord, I brought him to the disciples. They couldn't heal him. And, Jesus, rebuked the disciples a little bit. How long am I going to be with you? And then he commanded the demon to come out. And, he said, how long has the boy been like this? He says, since he's a baby, right?
And yes.
And he said, "What if you could do anything, help us." And he goes, if? What do you mean,
if?
But then he said, anything is possible to him who believes. And he goes, I believe,
yes.
Help my unbelief. And
help
he had the faith to bring his child to the disciples.
Right.
And then he lost the faith when they didn't get the results he was looking for. But
yes.
Then he seen Jesus and he said, he's the one that can do it. And then he brought him to Jesus. And But when there was that momentary, you know, fighting back of that demon, I guess you could say a little bit. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, how long has it been like this? And that his bucket had done reached its limit. According to your parable, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and he's like, you know, help my unbelief, you know, increase my capability to believe is what he's saying.
That is right. And we just don't want to stop when we hit that place where it's like, if, then don't stop. Don't stop, because that boy would not have been delivered had that father stopped right there.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So we just cannot stop. We have to press on. Help me in my unbelief and help me to press on. We do not want our pride or our knowledge to be a hindrance to us.
Right.
We need to press on.
Amen. So when someone starts to read your book, what's the goal? What is it they should be striving for?
I think the goal is to understand and get into God's presence. Mm-hmm. It all starts there. That's why I start with it in my book. The goal should be to see Jesus, to meet Jesus, to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and to understand this assurance that he wants to give you of his love, of your identity, everything you have, and what your purpose and your calling is. All that is revealed in the presence. And for the longest time, I didn't even understand what that meant. And it wasn't until I heard, people would make comments like, ooh, his presence was thick today. And whoa, I was hit with the presence. And I thought, what are they talking about? And so I just started to really, again, thirsty, press in. I was not going to let my unbelief stop me from seeing Jesus and getting what he has for everyone. And so the goal is to see Jesus and to get in his presence, because he wants to grow you and develop you. He does not want you to stop at being his servant or his child, because he has a journey for you that will end up with you being the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And especially in these times, he is coming back, and he is coming back for his bride. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that as a Christian, that we are prepared bride. Just like Esther went through all those times of preparation to be the bride. It's a prophetic picture of how we are to develop and come so that before our king, so that we are a ready and fit bride.
Amen. That's so true. Mm-hmm. Now, in your book, you also shared how many people read the Bible and they read about the disciples and think, oh, how wonderful it must have been to have that kind of a relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
But you say we can have that same kind of a relationship today, right now. How does your book help us to accomplish that?
Well, I think what it does, and I'm hoping through a lot of the testimonies that I share, that people will understand that this is part of how God wants to move closer and closer to becoming the bride, is he wants us to walk with him just like Jesus walked when he was here. The gifts were not something fun for us to read about, but he was an example for us to follow. He was put here on this earth to show us what it was like to be in communion with the Father and to be completely yielded to the Father, and to show us what a human who is completely yielded and in communion with the Father, what they can do on this earth to relieve so much pain, to release healing, to release love and compassion. And so I really feel like the book helps you to journey in the order so that you can come to that place to see that you were meant to follow the model that Jesus set forth for us.
That's so good. That is amen. Mm-hmm. Kim, this is so fascinating. And your book's available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it is.
Amen. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? Yes. How can they get in touch with you?
Yes. You know what? The best way to do it is you can email me at tothethirsty@gmail.com, and I will answer your emails. I'll get in touch with you. I do list a website in the back of the book, but that's not up and running yet. So I am working on getting that up and running. And then you can contact me that way. But the best way to contact me is just to email me. Amen. tothethirsty@gmail.com.
Amen. Folks, your relationship with God cannot but help to get better, deeper, more satisfying the deeper you go with God. And Kim Patterson's book, To the Thirsty, mm-hmm. Journey into the Depths of God, is a book that will guide you to dig deeper into the Word and deeper into your relationship with God. This book was inspired by God to have Kim write this book for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And as I said at the beginning, in a day and time that has limited our ability to run to the church in a time of need, God is providing a way for you to come to Him.
Yes.
A way for you to draw closer to Him. A way for you to go deeper into His presence. So go down to the show notes, click the link below, order your copy of Kim Patterson's great book, To the Thirsty, Journeying into the Depths of God, right now, while you're thinking about it. In fact, at the time of this recording, you are probably getting ready to start your Christmas shopping and wondering what meaningful gift you could buy someone who's important to you. I'd recommend you buy 2, 3, or even 4 of Kim's books right now. Give one to your pastor and others that you care about. This is a book that can literally change someone's destiny and have them draw closer and deeper into a relationship that truly matters, a relationship with the Creator of all things, who just happens to be our Heavenly Father. Amen. Kim, thank you for coming on the program and sharing about this great book today.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Kim Patterson, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.